This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom by Rav Shalom Arush. Garden of Peace, a guide to a happy and fulfilling marriage. So we're in chapter 7, and Rav Arush has told us a story about a chap who came to him, wanted to get married, and the guy said to him, so this was someone that Rav Arush knew, someone who had been close to Rav Arush for a while, who was getting stronger in his emunah, who was becoming Baal Teshuvah. He was still not keeping all of the mitzvahs, still wasn't even keeping Shabbos, but he was very strong in his hitbodidut. Anyway, so he came to Rav Arush and he said to Rav Arush that he wanted to get married. And he explained to Rav Arush that the girl he wanted to marry was not terribly interested in becoming religious. But he was very close to her and he wanted to know if it was... He wanted the bracha of the Rav to get married. So Rav Arush said to him, look, I don't advise it. Marriage is difficult enough without adding in the problems of your wife not being interested in getting closer to Hashem if you are on that path yourself. So I don't advise it. However, the Bachor didn't listen to him and chose to get married to that woman anyway. So the Bachor chooses to get married anyway, even though he is on the becoming Baal Teshuvah and she's not interested. So anyway, inevitably, they have problems in Shalom Bayit. So a short time later, after the wedding, Bachor comes to the Rav, says, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, you were right. You told me not to marry her, and I didn't listen to you. Now, I'm having all problems in Shalom Bayit. Should I separate? Should I divorce? Rabbi says, no, Chas v'Shalom, of course not. Beforehand, I told you it wasn't a good match. But now you're married, that's it. From Hashem, it's from heaven. That's what Hashem wants you, that's your test. Go and work. Go to work. What's it mean, go to work? Go learn this book, Gan HaShalom, and go to the field and pray. Right? So that's what he did. Arash writes here, I explained yesterday, that not long after, he saw that this man developed in his emunah and his midot in an amazing way. And Arash writes that this was a great proof for him that everything Hashem does is for the good. Even though Hashem gave him a very difficult test, doesn't look like it's very good, right? You led me to marry a woman that wasn't suitable for me, that doesn't want to get through a woman. I do want to get through a woman. But even though he had a great test, the result was that he really worked on his midot and his emunah. And his wife complained a lot, but he accepted everything with love. And he didn't rebuke her at all. And he kept his emunah. And that requires a lot of strength. Rav says there's lots of people who would never get to his level. And he only got to his level because he was put through that test. And he stood up in the test. Right? It's not for sure. There's two ways a person can go. It's not for sure that he's going to pass the test. Right? The option to fall is also there, but he didn't. He merited to be strong and to pass the test. V'zebarur, and it's clear, shirak v'zchut hametzuka shayaba, that only in the merit of the challenge that he was placed in, shegarma lo lahavot v'tifila, that caused him to increase his praying, v'hitbodedut, v'shvil la'amot b'nisayon, in order that he would stand up in the test. Right, v'zchut zeh, only on the merit of that, hu hitkarev ma'od l'kiyum haTorah, he came very close to fulfilling the Torah, by mitzvah and the mitzvahs, v'giyah l'ma'alot miyuchadot, and he reached a very special level. V'ikar sheba'avodat emunah, and the ikar, the main thing is, that in working on emunah, shezor ikar teshuvah, which is really the main part of teshuvah. Working on our emunah is really, he says here, the main thing in teshuvah. But there, in this, Hu hitkadem b'tzurah ma'oreret kina. In this thing, he advanced in a way which should arise jealousy, right? It would arise jealousy in people in the way he managed to progress. He merited to fix, to rectify his midot in a way, in a fundamental way. He was previously an angry man. Now he seems patient, a patient person, like there's no one like him has patience like that. He accepts all of the complaints of his wife, Be'emuna, with Emuna. And he is kind, he's good to her, without any expectation of getting anything back. He looks after her, is good to her. He honors her, odd odd, and more things. If he didn't have this challenge, with a wife like this, he would never merit all of those things. And here we can see the greatness, the great wonder, the great wonderfulness of the Hashkacha of Hashem, the individual supervision of Hashem. That even though with a simple mind, it would seem that it was a mistake to get married to a woman like this. Therefore, before the act, meaning before they got married, therefore I did not advise him to get married to her. And in truth, the reality of this couple, niklala kashim gedolim, would arise difficult problems, b'shalom bayit, in shalom bayit, because of who she was and who he was. They weren't matched, they weren't suitable. Aval, but bistaklut shel emuna, when you look through the eyes of emuna, ro'im she'acharei shekavai hitchaten, you see that after they had already got married, zohaita ubda mugmeret tov mod, this was de facto, it was a done deal. It was very good. After the fact, it was for the best. Ki dafka ayidei hit modadut v'hakoshi, because dafka, specifically because of the need to work on himself through the difficulties. Oto bachor avad al atzmo, this bachor worked on himself, v'hit karev, and he came close to Hashem, v'zacha, and he merited l'ka'ela midot niflot, to these wonderful midot, she'er ma'atim zochim lahem, that very few merit this. V'zeh yomal kol echad lachen inyan v'inyan. And from this, each of us can learn she'alach she'lifnei ma'aseh v'vadai ein ha'adam tzorich lazmin atzmo nisyanot kashim, that we should learn that it's true, even though before the event, certainly a person should not invite on themselves difficult tests or yisurim or suffering. Chas v'shalom. Tov ma'od im yishtadel litorer matzmo li yisurim, and it's much better if he works to awaken himself without suffering. Aval, but lachar ma'aseh, after the fact, kasher kavar ba'u al adam eiz yisurim, after there's already come upon this person type of suffering or kashiv gadolim or difficult situations, zematsuyan, then it's for the best. Zemashe yidchafoto litpalel, this is what's going to push him to pray, v'lavod al midot v'emuna, and to work on his midot and his emunah. The avodah hazu taniv ravachim, and this work will bring great benefit. Niflaim, what amazing benefits. The sheyalvu oto kol yamav, that will that will accompany him all of his life. Right? We see that, what does it say in Pirkei Avot? It says in Pirkei Avot, roughly, I can't remember exactly, I read it yesterday, day before, in one of the books of Rabbeinu, that he brings the Pirkei Avot, over there it says something like, that gold and silver do not accompany a person. Only the good deeds in the Torah that he has with him accompany him, like to the next life, to the next world. Right? Nothing. Not, I mean, it's obvious, but it says in Pirkei Avot very nicely. I can't say it in the way it says over there. It says it very sweetly. But it's something that we need to think about. That what are we going to take with us? Nothing. We're not taking with any of the things we achieved. None of the material things we achieved. We don't take with the house, the car, the bank account, the clothes, the TV. We don't take nothing. We don't take with all of the shtuyot, all of the nonsense, all of the things that we think we're taking with. All of those good memories are going to be really embarrassing in the world to come. They're not going to be good memories I'm going to live on in the world to come. I'm going to live on that time when I was a student and we stayed up all night partying. That was the best time ever. Right, I'm not going to take that with me. If I remember that in the world to come, I'm going to be so embarrassed about it, that's going to be hell for me. Right? So all the stuff that I think I'm taking with, oh, remember when I was the best, I came out best in some whatever. Yeah, the arrogance
is punishment.
Right? Is going to be a punishment by itself. Right? None of that. So, What is gonna stay with me? Only Torah and mitzvot, Torah and good deeds and prayers that I did. That's the only thing. That's the real stuff. So lama fuch, this world is a world on its head. So if I had a wonderful marriage, and everything was so fantastic and sweet, and we were like lovebirds, proverbially lovebirds, and everything was wonderful, and all I did was, I don't know, drink coffee in Cafe Hillel opposite my wife, and go to the beach, and go on holidays, enjoy ourselves, and I have nothing to take with that, and zero to take with nothing. I didn't achieve anything. Sounds good, it looks great, but it's not what I was here for. I didn't get nothing. While it was here, maybe tov, I had some sort of fleeting, temporary enjoyment from it, but only if my eyes were really closed. But it's not real. It's not what I'm taking with me. What am I taking with me? All the times I struggled, all the times I prayed, all the times I did my best when it was a difficult situation. That's the real stuff. That's the diamond that I'm going to take with me to the world to come. That has currency, that has value. So when Hashem sends me difficulties and trials, it's really for the best. Right, Rabbi Ari says we should thank for the difficult things. So we do it because he says so, and it's tough. He says we should thank, and I can understand maybe logically, maybe I can understand a bit why it's a good thing to thank. But we don't actually realize that they were the best things. When we get to the world to come, we'll see that it was those things that were the best things. If I hadn't have got that, I wouldn't have achieved. You know, I wouldn't be in Gan Eden now. I don't know where I'd be, but right. It's only through those difficulties that I actually achieved anything worthwhile. And so so we really will thank for the good. We really will see that all those difficult situations that Hashem put us in, and the difficult Shalom Bayit problems we had, were really the best thing. Were the best thing that He did for us. We didn't like it at the time, but then Ramash, it's what saved me from oblivion, saved me from nonsense, saved me from just putting my feet up and being happy with my life, right? Kilo. We are meant to be happy, but we're happy with the test. We're not happy with the fact that it's But otherwise, it's a waste of time. We're here for a job. We're not here to watch a movie. Life is not a movie where you sit up and you sit down in the back row with your popcorn and watch the movie. And like, this is great. I don't have to do anything. I just sit here and eat popcorn and just watch it go by. That would be nice. It seems to us. Ayat Zahara says that's the best thing. Right? Just put your feet up. Don't cause any fuss. Watch the world go by. Everything's good. No, it's not. Came here to work, came here to do a job. And if the world is passing us by and we're not moving, we're not doing nothing, we're on the wrong track. We're not on the train. The train's moving, it's already down the road, and I'm sitting in the station on the chair with my feet up, watching the train go by. Like, oh, that's an interesting train. Now I should be on that train. I can either put myself on the train, or Hashem, if he's kind, will drag me kicking and screaming and stick me on the train, even though I don't want to be on it. I want to be sitting in the coffee shop watching the train. Right? And he'll drag me out there. And then afterwards I'll thank him for dragging me and sticking me on the train. That's why we should be thanking. That's why we should be thanking him for the difficulties. Because the difficulties are really for our benefit. Mamash, they're the where we merit all of this. Only through the struggle. No one ever merited anything without struggle. A struggle that they put on themselves. I'm going to get there, I'm going to find it myself, I'm going to struggle myself. Or a struggle that Hashem put on them. There was no struggle, you didn't achieve anything. It's not called achieving. We're going to get on a plate. It's nice. Didn't achieve it. Sof. Sofo shel inyan, the end of this matter. Kesheshalati malasot. When he asked me what to do, right, this bachor that came, and said, what should I do? Should I get divorced from this woman now that I got married and I didn't take your advice and she's actually not very good for me? Apparently she's not very good for me, right? Amarati lo, I said to him, Ein devar kazeh, no such thing. Hashem natan lecha matana, Hashem gave you a present. Ve'ish lecha od avodah, and you now have more work to do. Avadata yafeh al atzmacha, you worked very well on yourself. Aval achshav yesh lecha project chadash, now you've got a new project. Atahare oseh b'chol yom, kama sha'ot shibadadut. You already do every day, several hours of hidvodadut. As tatchil lahakdish b'chol yom, therefore begin by dedicating every day shachat 1 hour lit palel al ishtacha. Daven 1 hour completely on your wife. Vehitish sanet, and then she will change. Right? The problem with the wife, the main problem, is that she doesn't want to become frum. And she will change. Asur lecha lachshov al shum devar acher. It's forbidden for you to think anything else. Zeh hatikun shecha. This is your tikkun. This is your tikkun. Right, you're going to flick.
This situation is different, right? Because you say the man is the woman is the mirror.
Yeah.
So when she's not religious, means he's not. But there's different.
Right. So, in this case, you're right, it's not the standard case. The standard case is when the woman is not
lacking in your woman.
It's lacking. It's because he has the lacking. But here, he went into the marriage when she was chiloni and not interested. So that's how they started. They already started off that he was interested in teshuva and she wasn't. So now he's in a different situation. He needs to take her, needs to bring her to that place. How? Through prayer. It could be.
On the other hand, when he prayed for her 1 hour, he makes him stronger too.
Nahon helps him too. So it could well be that what's going on here, why does he need to pray on her an hour a day in order to make her come back and do tshuva? It could well be that this is his tikkun. Why is it his tikkun? Because in a previous lifetime, let's say, in a previous Gilgul, they were married, and he was the one who led her astray. He was the one who said, no, let's stop, we don't need to keep Shabbos anymore, we know we don't need to do that. And he took her off the path. And now he needs to fix that. He needs to bring her back. Right? And that's his tikkun. So his tikkun is dafka to marry this person who's chilani and not interested, and to bring her back. How's he going to do? He's going to do that through prayer. Mutalamar shetefef. It's needless to say. I don't need to say shetefef shehitzchil lasot b'chol yom sha'ala yishto. That immediately after he began to pray an hour every day on his wife, miyad hu hitzchil lirot ba shinuim. He immediately began to see in her changes, likibun haratzui, in the right direction. Kibavadai ayidei sha'ah hipududut, because certainly through an hour hipududut, shleima, a complete hour, b'chol yom, every day, al ezo ishat shetiyeh, no matter what type of woman she was, hi chayevet lishanot, she has to change. She's not in her hands, right? She has no, it's not, she can't fight.
Can I see a picture?
True. Prayer is effective, right? How does prayer work? Rav Nachman explains the physical world is just a mashal for the spiritual world. Everything we have in the physical world is in order to teach us about the spiritual world.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Everything in the physical world exists to teach us about the spiritual world, the real world, not the other way around. We think it's the other way around. Like people say, why does it say the hand of Hashem? Why does it say Hashem looks? Right? Or anthropomorphological ways of describing Hashem, as if he's got a hand, as if he, right? And people say, no, he doesn't really have a hand. It's a teacher's. No, so the truth is, it's backwards. He does have a hand, and we don't. Right, he's the real, right, he does have a hand. This is the mashal. It's not the other way around. Right? That's the real. This is just to try and teach us about God, about spiritual matters, about we're putting in a world where we can learn about Hashem. So Hashem gives us a hand in order so we can learn what it means to give, what hands do, what spiritual cost. So what we're talking about. So same true with prayer. Prayer, so what do we have in the physical world that teaches about prayer? Speech. Speech is a physical representation. Rav Nachman explains in the Kotei Moran that when a person speaks, what happens? So physically, sound comes out of his mouth, it hits the air, it moves the air, that air moves the next bit of air, and so on, until it hits the ear, and then it moves the whatever moves in the ear.
Eardrum.
What's that? The hammer, the sickle, the cockle, the top. Wherever it moves in the ear. And you hear the sound. So the same is true with prayer. When a person prays, he creates angels, he creates malachim, he creates spiritual forces that move in the world. But they're not limited like physically. They can move anywhere in the world. They're not like from here to Australia is the same as from here to the next room. There's no difference. That's why you can pray on anyone anywhere. And you cause spiritual forces. And what do? They go out into the world, and they, just like speech enters into a person's ear, person's hearing, so the prayer enters into a person's thoughts. So a person can have thoughts of teshuvah that come into his head because of my prayers. My prayers leave my mouth, and they end up triggering teshuvah in another person. Person suddenly, for no reason whatsoever, wakes up in the morning and thinks to himself, you know what? Maybe I'll put on tefillin today, why not? Okay, why not? Where did that thought come from? It came from prayer. Just the same as someone speaking in his ear and saying, why don't you put on tefillin? So now it's much stronger because now it's coming from me. When it comes from someone else, I can ignore it. Yeah, forget it. Why do you know? You know nothing. You don't know me. Why should I put on tefillin? I start arguing, right? But when it comes from me, oh, so it's me. I think it comes from me. It's not. Obviously, it's from Hashem. It comes from the prayers. So now it arises in my head. Same is true exactly with the wife. So you're praying on your wife that she should be strong and she should be sneers and wear good clothes and want to light candles, want to go to mikveh. Hashem, please, that she should want to go. Suddenly, she turns to you and says, you know what? I think I'll go to mikveh. Why not? I think it's a good thing. I've been thinking about it recently and it seems to me it's a good thing. Right? Without saying a word, without saying a word. If you try and say a word, she's going to argue. Right? Because that's not natural instinct. Well, you're telling me what to do. And, right? The worst thing in the world is to say anything. So not to say anything at all, just to pray. The prayer, then she's going to change Kilu by herself. And it brings it in different chapters. People who split up and someone has to leave the house. And he came down. What should I do? He said, go pray. Don't go back to the house. Just go to the field. Pray. And eventually he prayed. He says, lend nothing to the wife. And the guy gets a call a few weeks later. And it's the wife. And I've been thinking about it. You know what? Maybe we should try again. Maybe we should come back. We should see. From nowhere. From nothing. Apparently from nothing. But it's not. It's only through prayer. We have no idea what our prayers are doing. We can't see. Well, that's where we need to have faith. But we can't see what our prayers are doing, but our prayers are much more effective than our speech, right? Because of speech, a person filters out, they argue. If you want to educate your kids, you want to educate your wife, you want to educate anyone, you've got two methods. You can try and tell them. They're going to argue, they're going to fight. The words, it's not what I really wanted to say, it's what came out. I didn't mean it that way, you don't understand what I'm talking about. No, right? All sorts of problems in communication, even if you get it right. But when you pray, straight in, under the radar, in there, much, much more effective. Much more effective. Nima says there, I'm out of time. It's up there. Carry on tomorrow. He told us, no, tomorrow's Wednesday. I'm going to carry on with the Thursday.